Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's always, always a pleasure and daunting to stand here in front of you because it's not a natural thing for me, public speaking. As John will tell you, even though we've done recruiting courses together, I was always a little shy one and still am. But, you know, with the Lord's help, nothing is impossible. I'd like to read a passage from Luke chapter 6, reading verses 27 through to 36, which will be up in there, and I've entitled today's message, Walking with the Lord. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be my children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. When you read that and you think about that and all of the implications of that passage, it makes you realize what you're signing on for when you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It isn't an easy walking with the Lord. He doesn't promise you that it'll be easy, but He does promise you that He will be with you each step of the way, and He will give you the power to overcome. Let's just come to the Lord in prayer before we look into His Word. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word is the foundation on which we can stand and build our faith, because Your Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we just pray that You will open up Your Word to each one of us. Feed us from it, Lord. Let us take on board what You're trying to say to each one of us through it. And Lord, I know You've been speaking to me as I've been preparing it. And Lord, I want to just thank You for Your comfort and Your strength. And let my lips be Your lips this morning, Lord. Let it all be from You. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I say, walking with the Lord. You know, He doesn't promise that we're going to have an easy time. But I believe that if we are going to make life a bit easier for ourselves, it's important that we find ourselves a church where we're getting good gospel, we've got good Christian relations, and where we can work together and build each other up, where we can enjoy fellowship and grow in our faith, and hopefully enable others to grow in their faith as well. That said, what would you consider a good church? That's the question. Well, I would like to throw out there, an old being a serviceman or an ex-serviceman, the three P's. The first P, and the most important, is prayer. The power of prayer. Prayer is the powerhouse of the church, and it's interwoven with worship. To me, it would be unthinkable to have a church service without prayer. And you know, really, we have prayer meetings twice a month here. And that's not an awful lot, but at times they're not very well supported, because prayer, people find prayer difficult. And I don't know why they find it difficult, because all they're doing is talking to their father. And he doesn't expect you to make a big flurry supplication to him. He just wants to talk to you. He just wants to receive your thanks and to enable you to trust in him. He wants to talk to you. He wants a relationship with you. And that's what walking with the Lord is. It's a personal relationship. And you know, and relationships are funny. A man and a wife can have little disgruntles or arguments and what have you, but the outside world doesn't always see it, you know, because it's kept within the family. That's fine. The Lord's the same, but the Lord knows everything that we do. So we can't be grumbled with him. We can hide it from each other, but you can't hide it from him. So it's important that we take that on board, that he is our power, and our power comes from him through prayer. Prayer, as I said, is a primary means of worship. Jesus himself taught his disciples to pray, and that's where we got the Lord's Prayer from. And we pray it as our family prayer in this church regularly. The second P, moving on, is praise. Now, praise is another way in which we can, as a fellowship, engage in bringing the Lord our worship. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:19, Paul urged the church at Ephesus to be speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, songs and music from your heart to the Lord. And that's what we do when we worship, when we're singing. We should be singing not to impress each other, not to feel good, but to give thanks to the Lord for his ability to enable us to sing, because he gives us all our talents that we've got. Rob on his guitar, John on, with his lovely singing voice, you know, I think it's a tenor, I think. Or is it a tenor he gave me for to say that? Okay, but seriously, you know, the Lord enjoys a joke. He must enjoy a joke because he chose us, and we can be funny people from time to time. Let's move on to the third P then. The third P is preaching or proclamation. Some people call it sermons and some call it messages, but it's the same thing. It's bringing the word of God. And Paul instructs Timothy, as we can read in 1 Timothy 4:13. Until I come, devote yourselves to public reading of the scripture, to preaching and teaching. Then in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, we read, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. When you read that passage, it seems clear to me that prayer, those three P's, the prayer, the praise, and the proclamation or the preaching, are very important to build us as believers and to strengthen us in our walk with him. In Scripture, the church is referred to as the body of Christ, just as our body is one. She's standing here. There's many parts. And all of those parts have got a purpose. And a lot of those things, parts, work independent even as we think of thought. Because we do things naturally, or we think we do. But there, we are all got one controller. And there's only one controller. And he's the big controller up there, the awesome God that we come here this morning to worship. And it's important that as a church that we recognize that we are part of the body of Christ. And as part of his body, we are called to minister to others, to build them up and to share our faith with them and to strengthen them. And sometimes that will mean getting involved in things that you don't feel comfortable with. Like, I'm standing here preaching. At one time, you wouldn't have got me in through the door, never mind standing in the front here. But the Lord says, that's what I want you to do. So you've got to be either Jonah and disobedient and end up in the belly of a whale, or like Jonah did, repent and go to Nineveh and do what the Lord's will is and be blessed. And I chose the latter. thankfully. And he made it easy. He gave me the strength to do it. But I believe that it's when we receive the Lord Jesus into our lives, it's crucial that we do follow the instructions that he gives us. And in Hebrews 10 and 25, he does encourage us. And it reads, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And as we heard this morning from Roy, we went into Sainsbury's last night and he saw, "We support gay pride." To me, that is a sign that the day is fast approaching when the Lord will be coming back. Because the way things are going in this world now, the Lord will not be mocked for long, I don't believe. And personally, I hope the sooner he comes, the better. With one caveat, I want all of those who I love and know to at least have the opportunity to bow the knee. And it's between them and the Holy Spirit. The reason Paul gives this advice is simple. Just as differing parts of our body have different purposes, as we said, that allow us to operate, the body of the church members have got different gifts to enable the church to grow healthily. We need to recognize the gifts that God has given us and to use them to build up the body of his church. And it's imperative that the word of God is preached and acted upon if we want to grow into a healthy church and bear fruit. That's the most important thing. There's no point having a tree in your garden and it doesn't give you any fruit. I don't think so anyway. We've got pear tree in our garden and there's no pears on it at the minute. I think I'm going to chop it down. The apple tree's got some apples on it, but I don't know. I think the birds have been at the pears, but there we go. We've got to share with nature. It's important that the members immerse themselves in the Word of God regularly. That's not just the members, it's all of us. And that we get into the Word of God. And it doesn't become just a Sunday thing. Something that we do on a Sunday. Put on your suit on a Sunday. You know, that's what used to happen in the old days in Belfast. You see all the men on a Sunday, they'd be out in their suits. In the Monday, the wives would be down to the pawn shop, putting the suit in for the pawn man to hang up in the wardrobe for a week. And then go back and get it on the Saturday for Sunday. But that's the way things were then. The Lord knows everything. It's important, as I say, that we immerse ourselves in the Word of God regularly, not just on a Sunday. After all, the gospel is the heart of our faith. So it's important that it become a second nature to us. Not something that we've got to think about. Not something that we've got to get out of the drawer. But something that is living within us, because he lives in each one of us. His Holy Spirit dwells in the soul of all believers. Just as sportsmen and women, I don't know how many of you are watching the Ladies World Cup. I know England didn't do very well, came fourth, but they've done pretty well. Got a lot of viewers on. But you know, all sportsmen and women, if they want to be good at anything, they need to practice. They need to practice in order to maintain their skills and to get their place in the squad and to maintain their place in the squad. And other professionals, such as doctors, they even have practicing in their job description, don't they? Practicing doctor. Or you go to the doctor's practice. You know. But it's imperative that they keep up their skills and maintain them to keep up. Look after our health. I mean, Roy will tell you, he's had surgery. There's quite a few, this church that we've given thanks to the Lord for, has answered the prayer, who have been healed. Well, the surgical intervention by the doctors have repaired the damage, but the Lord has provided the healing. It should also be the serious Christian's title, a practicing Christian. Because none of us are perfect, and we never will be until we arrive at our final destination, when the scripture tells us we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye into the likeness of Jesus. So until that time, as long as we've got breath in our body, we need to keep practicing. And it's fun at times. Don't fall for the lie that practice makes perfect. You always hear that, don't you? Practice makes perfect. It doesn't. Practice can help you to improve, but only the Lord can make you perfect. In 1 Peter 1:13, we read this. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Then Paul goes on to urge Christians, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, but test them. In some versions say, test all things. Hold on to what is good. And then in Romans 12 in verse 2, he advises, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now that's why, as part of our Christian walk, it's important that we examine the scriptures. Because it's through the scriptures that the Lord speaks to each one of us. Remember what Jesus had to say to that smart, in scripture he actually calls him an expert in the law, who was trying to trap Jesus or test him. And he asked, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And we can read in Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So it just shows you that we've got to examine and meditate on the scriptures. You notice the word there, expert. The media is great at this. They always refers to people with which they consider are got specialist interests in their field as experts. But you know what an expert is? John will, and Rob will, could be in the next serviceman. We're told that oftentimes. X stands for a has-been. And a spurt is what you get when you put a liquid under pressure. But all joking aside, there's only one expert worth putting your faith in, and that's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. After all, he created every one of us and everything in this world around us. And he knows the end from the beginning. Scripture tells us, as we can read in 2 Corinthians 16:18, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. When you meditate on these verses, it becomes quite clear that it's not so much what we do, but it's what the Lord does within us and for us. As a lovely old hymn goes, I'm sure you're well versed with it, just goes like this. Jesus, you are changing me. By your Spirit, you are making me like you. All that we have and all that we will ever have comes from one place, and that's from the Father. As Roy, I think it was saying, sometimes we make gods of our houses and all the rest of it. Don't make gods of them, but thank God for them. Yeah? And give him the first call on them if he requires them. Remember, that can only happen if you're reading and meditating his word regularly. The Christian walk is not a marathon. Sorry, it is a marathon. And not a sprint. It's 24/7, 365 days a year, and not just a Sunday event, as we've already said. As we've already heard, the gospel is at the heart of the Christian faith, so it needs to be our second nature. The only way we can achieve that is through immersing ourselves in his word and practicing what we preach. Could a member of a gym who rarely attends hope to achieve any physical benefit from that membership? No. You know the saying, no pain, no gain. As Christians, we need to exercise our faith so as to strengthen it and enable us to defend it if, and more likely when, as we see what's happening in the world today, we need to. We need to accept that the Christian walk is not a stroll, and at times it might even seem like a hard slog, especially if we try to do things in our own strength. At all times, we need to look to Scripture for help and remember that our help comes from the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29-30, "Take my yoke upon you and lean on me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As a practicing Christian, you've been commissioned by the Lord. I was never commissioned in the Air Force. I was a non-commissioned officer. I don't know why they wouldn't give me a commission. I wasn't good enough, but I'm good enough for the Lord's army. So I just say praise the Lord and thank you, Lord, for that, being promoted. But if you read the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" That's a lovely promise. He's going to be with us always to the very end of the age. We're never going to be separated. Death can't separate us. It can only bring us together. And we're going to live with him forever. So, I don't know. It's hard to get your head around at times, but I think it's marvelous. I can't wait myself. It's important to understand that the Great Commission, Christ calls us not only to make converts, but to make disciples. A disciple is simply a learner. And what the learners need to do? They need to practice. Yeah. So we need to practice as we follow Jesus. And the only way we can accomplish making other disciples is through our testimony. Through our testimony of our love for them and towards them. Testimony from our lips by telling them and talking to them. And more importantly, by our testimony of how we live. They should be able to see the difference and not just hear it. It's not a "do what I say," but it should be more "do what I do because I say what I do." If that makes sense to you. It's a bit of Irish, but it'll work. Again, we are given good advice. We're coming near the end, you'll be glad to know. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." The Christian walk will be tough at times. But if you keep His Word in your heart, and stay connected through prayer, and remember always that the Lord helps, and it's always available, and it'll get you through anything. With the Lord's help, all things are possible. And let me share with you, word for today, there's a part of it which just struck me as I was reading it, was a wee bit pertinent to what we've already done. And it reads the last bit, it's just a little bit of it. In Scripture, the Christian's life is compared to a 26-mile marathon. At marker 23 miles, it doesn't matter whether you think you should finish, you'll only do it because you want to. In other words, your wanting to keeps you going when you should find it easier to quit. And Psalm 100, verse 2, and this is from the New King James, from the Word for the Day. Serve the Lord with gladness, because nothing else will enable you to go the distance. It's so true. It's our will. We are here this morning because it's where the Lord wanted us to go, to be here, and because we were willing to come. If we weren't willing to come, there'd be more empty seats. So it's your will to do the Lord's will that's important. So keep on, keeping on, one foot in front of the other. We all fall down from time to time. Nobody's perfect, so we got to keep practicing. I've got great practice at getting up after falling down, because your knees get very sore each time you hit the deck. But the more they get calloused, the easier it is. But sometimes as you get a bit older, it's harder to get up. So you've got to be more perfect as you get older. Just that's what they say. The sweeter the music, the older the violin or something like that, isn't it? So they say. But let's then just come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise that you will be with us always, even to the very end of the age. And Lord, we look forward to that time when we meet up with you and we can have communion with you, Lord, because your word tells us that you won't drink of the vine, fruit of the vine, until you drink it with us. And Lord, we look forward to that. So Lord, we just pray that you'll bless us, Lord, that your word will be meditated upon and the seeds planted will be watered by the Holy Spirit, and that we will be doers of your word, Lord. So we just give you all the glory and all the honor this morning. And we thank you for being such a wonderful Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.